You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Continuing our conversation about how the pandemic impacted education, I spoke with a group of researchers and local administrators about how to make up for the lost learning that occurred for many students in the past academic year. I talked with Allison Crafton, Director of Student Services for Madera Unified, Natalie Wheatfall-Lum, Director of P16 Education Policy at the Education Trust West, and Heather Huff, Executive Director of Policy Analysis for California Education, more commonly known as PACE. Also joining the conversation from Fresno Unified were Jeremy Ward, the Assistant Superintendent of College and Career Readiness, and Heather Allen, Executive Officer for the district's Instructional Division. So Heather Huff, you work with PACE, which has been researching what is typically thought of as learning loss, although I understand maybe a better term is learning lag that has resulted from the pandemic. Can you briefly summarize some of the more significant findings?
Since the pandemic started and schooling was disrupted initially because of the school closures in March 2020, and then as we navigated various factors, researchers have been concerned about the impact on student learning. And so we, as a network of researchers affiliated with PACE, have been studying a variety of impacts on student learning and social-emotional well-being as well. Most recently, we released a report that documented what we are calling learning lag as a result of lost learning opportunities or schooling disruptions as of winter of this 2021. And what we found is that California students in the 19 school districts in which we had formative assessment data are approximately 2.5 months behind in both English, language arts, and mathematics, but that the effect is much stronger for particular students, namely students that are low income and students that are learning English. For example, students that are low income are about just over three months behind in English, language arts, where they would be in a typical year, compared to only 1 month behind for non-socioeconomically disadvantaged students. And for students learning English, they're about 3.5 months behind compared to only 2 months behind for students not learning English in English language arts. So one of the things that we are very concerned about as we monitor this learning is the differential impact on students and how students in groups that were already disadvantaged, they are being differentially disadvantaged by the consequences and situations of the pandemic.
The students at Fresno Unified fall into that category of students who have been traditionally disadvantaged. And I'm wondering if either Heather or Jeremy could weigh in on what you have witnessed as a district and what your strategies are going to be in the fall to try to make up for some of that learning lag.
Sure. I mean, I think that we do see similar patterns. The majority of our students in our district fall into those categories. So what we see is that it's been most challenging. It was most challenging early on in the pandemic to make sure that kids had access to internet and wireless to really be able to connect and to continue learning last year. And as we moved throughout this year, it remains difficult. We see outcomes in things like graduation and grading. So things that we're doing next year that we already know we're going after strongly to help support our students is in semester one of next year, all kids in Fresno Unified will have a 30-minute longer school day. And then as we move into semester two, we'll be using that extra 30-minute really for more targeted student intervention groups beyond kind of all students. So really feeling like those extra time is really an effort to add back some of the lost time that happened this year with some of the reduction in instructional minutes and particularly face-to-face instructional minutes that kids got. So that's a major intervention or a major strategy that we're going after. Also going after vastly expanded credit recovery options for our high school students, expanded after-school programs, expanded summer school programs in effect right now this summer. So we're really trying to approach it from multiple sides. We've also invested in additional training for teachers about really how to receive our kids and support students who are re-entering in a different way than when they left us potentially. So those are some of the strategies that we're going to be using and implementing next year as we're really back full-time for all of our kids.
Natalie Wheatfall-Lum, you have been leading the work that EdTrust West has been doing on K-12 school reopenings. What are the kind of steps that you're recommending districts take to help students who may have fallen behind?
Thank you for the question, Kathleen. One of our major focuses is basically just framing this opportunity as a way for schools and districts in the education system generally to see this return to school as not only a time where we need to address the needs of students who have been most impacted by the pandemic, which are the student groups that Heather mentioned, low-income students, English learners, students of color, but also an opportunity to think differently about school and to reimagine school in a holistic way, to transform systems to better serve those students generally. We know that students have experienced significant impacts from the pandemic, but there have been long-standing inequities in the education system. And because of the disruption in the system, we have an opportunity to think differently about how we provide education to students right now. And there are several ways that this can happen, and they're outlined in a report that we actually partnered with Heather at PACE with, as well as our partners at Californians for Justice, which is a student advocacy organization that does do deep work in Fresno Unified. And we've outlined a number of practices that have been proven in research to support the students most marginalized in our education system. And it focuses on creating trusting relationships with students and families, developing culturally responsive and rigorous curricula, looking at students' holistic needs and assessing students at an individual level to help meet those needs, and also making sure that all stakeholders across the school and district community are engaged in the decision-making around how to meet student needs right now. The best way to assess student needs is to directly hear what those needs are from students and families. So those are some of the areas that we are encouraging leaders to focus on right now to center the students that have been most marginalized during the pandemic and also well before the pandemic and how we return to school.
So we know that obviously steps are being taken at a school level, at a district level, but also at a state level and a policy level to help students succeed in the upcoming academic year. And Allison Crafton, you're with Madera Unified, and I understand that there's a particular piece of legislation that you've been tracking pretty closely, AB 104. Can you tell us a little bit about it and why it could be so significant for students?
Sure. So yes, we have been tracking it pretty diligently because it first came on our radar around early February, and when it was presented, it was presented similarly to the other assembly bills that reduce credit requirements for graduation for certain identified groups such as migrant or newcomers, foster, fit, juvenile delinquents, and military. And so we were familiar with those bills and the requirements of those bills and the processes that were involved in those bills and how you were able to identify a student that may qualify, then the steps from that point on with meeting with the families to discuss the ramifications if they chose to go that route, and then to the back end stuff, the stuff where you have to set up all of the systems, the student information systems, to capture it appropriately. So we knew that this could potentially have a major impact on our juniors and seniors. It's a three-part bill. It doesn't just address state graduation requirements. It addresses retention. It also addresses pass, no pass for a grade change. And then it addresses credit requirements for graduation dropping to state requirements. So we were focused predominantly on the latter because it had the most potential for the largest impact. And because I come from an alternative education background, I knew it would really potentially benefit our alternative education students, as well as possibly give some of our students who are still in the comprehensive setting some hope again and not to feel as though there was no alternative other than to become a dropout or a student who was a non-completer. So we've been tracking it, and very proud of our district because a few weeks before the end of the school year, unfortunately, it has not passed yet. I believe it is at this point still with the Senate, and we are waiting in the next couple of weeks. We should hear if it does indeed pass. But because we had some students who would have met the state requirements and likely would have chosen to go that route, we did state that if they were able to do that by the end of June, and in fact, we were able to verify that, on paper, we would allow those students to actually participate in the graduation ceremony in anticipation the bill would pass. That's never been done before. And so I was really proud of our district for being student-centered and gracious to our families through this really difficult time and allowing them to celebrate in hopes that this is going to pass. We do have some students who fit into what we call the summer school bucket. So even with the change in graduation requirements, it would require them to go through summer school. And there will be a ceremony at the conclusion of summer session that they will have an opportunity to participate in. We maintained that. That is a practice in our district we maintained, but we did allow those students that we felt that could make it by June to have that experience in anticipation of its passage.
Jeremy Ward, given your role with Fresno Unified, overseeing college and career readiness and career technical education, what are your thoughts on this legislation, how significant it might be for students?
So we did see an increased number of non-grads by the month of May than we typically would. And we're anticipating, hopeful, that that's going to play out very positively for our students. We did put into place, in addition to hoping that the legislation would work out positively for us and for our community, we put into place a more expanded summer program and summer credit recovery options for students with the goal that we would get all of our non-grads in the month of May to be able to get to the point of graduation by the end of the summer. So typically we anticipate that there's going to be summer sessions of credit recovery through about mid-July. We are actually going all the way through the Friday before school starts the following week in August. So there's four full sessions of summer credit recovery for our kids. And I don't know if that's what we want to jump on and talk about now. And Heather could probably, add a little bit more to that as well. But we hope in conjunction with that bill, along with our expanded efforts to get more kids through and give them more opportunities, that we're going to be able to get every kid there is our goal.
Yeah, our expanded programs, we expanded our summer credit recovery programs, not just for current seniors and juniors, but for students in all grade levels. And again, for our juniors and seniors, although we put a priority focus on students who, right, if you needed a state required graduation class, that would be your priority for recovery. But we are really continuing to push hard into opportunities for kids to complete because we just have had a lack of clarity about the timeline of that bill. And we know there are kids who are really eager to get done and who are close and who can get done in these next couple weeks. So we're just continuing to push hard on that front to support them.
Sure. So we just have a couple of minutes before we have to wrap up. But Heather Huff, as you reflect back on this really extraordinary period of time that we have lived through, from a research perspective, what lessons do you think we could take away from this pandemic?
We spent a lot of time when we were putting together the brief that became Reimagine and Rebuild that Natalie mentioned. We worked with over 40 organizations in California to take stock of where we were and to chart a different path forward. And I think that what all of these organizations identified is that we have such an incredible opportunity ahead, not just because of the need to reimagine to meet students' needs and the money, which is also incredible, but also the disruption that we have encountered in education and the incredible innovation that we've seen. It's been a really hard year for parents, for students, and for educators, but we've seen teachers and administrators rise to challenge after challenge after challenge and innovate while they're exhausted and taking care of their own families and living through a pandemic. And I think part of what we've seen is that our system does have the potential to innovate. And we can build from that in thinking about what needs to change and how we can rework our systems that already were not really meeting the needs of many students in California. How we can build from that innovation to create a different system that better serves our students.
we've been talking with Heather Huff from PACE, Heather Allen and Jeremy Ward from Fresno Unified, Allison Crafton with Madera Unified, and Natalie Wheatfall-Lum from EdTrust West. Thank you all so much for being on the panel today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathleen.